This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, 1:07 p.m. on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink sitting in for Clark today. I just saw him on HSN about 15, 20 minutes ago where he was giving advice on fake iPads. So he's actually off. I've got to say that was pre-tape, but who knows? Maybe he's off on HSN today. But he's off of here, and I am here, and we're going to talk about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, deals of the day, something we've done every single day after Thanksgiving since I started filling in for Clark maybe 13 or 14 years ago. So I want to hear about your deals that you found. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You can tweet me your deals. My Twitter account is @ GLINK, @Glink. You can go to my Facebook page and you can leave some notes there. We're going to make this a truly interactive show. And, of course, we are still answering your questions about money and real estate and the stock market and consumer issues and all the rest. Happy to do that. But let's dig in on Black Friday. Boy, this is really interesting. For the first time ever, I got a call at 9:30 last night when I was in a somewhat food coma. I don't know about your Thanksgiving. Mine was stuffing, very stuffing. Must have been the third helping of stuffing I ate. But I got a call from my friend Leonora, and she goes, "I'm going to Midnight Madness." I said, "What's that?" And she goes, "I'm going shopping at Macy's at midnight when it opens." So I had to crack up because my friend Leonora may be the most astute shopper of clothing. I don't know if she gets too much into all the other stuff. She always gets an amazing deal. She loves Nordstrom Rack, and she finds amazing deals, and she always looks great. And I love it when she takes me shopping with her because I have no patience for shopping at all. And then for sure when it comes to fighting people on the sales rack, absolutely no patience for it. But anyway, Leonora does. And so she was going to Midnight Madness. And I realized this is the first year she's ever done that in all these years I've known her. I've known her since my freshman year of college. She's been my best friend since then. So she was going out to the Midnight Madness. And then I started seeing some of the news reports. And I thought, oh, my goodness, look how insane this has gotten. I'd already been hearing, and we talked about this on Wednesday, about how upset some people were that we were actually having stores opening up on Thanksgiving Day. People just, there was something about that that seemed to cross a line for a lot of folks. And yet, you know, so that we were opening up and having earlier and earlier store openings with bigger deals, doorbusters, get people in, Black Friday, the day that retailers start to go into the black instead of the red. And what happened? People got pepper sprayed. Really? I mean, it's that good a deal that you got to whip out your pepper spray and start pepper spraying people so that you can get the doorbuster? I know, you know, that woman who died in Walmart a couple of years ago because they broke down the door and she just got trampled. I thought that was horrible. But that wasn't that, I don't think people actually intended to kill her. At least I hope not. I mean, it was just sort of a mad rush. That was bad enough. But, you know, it's like watching people, the cops the other day, whip out their pepper spray to all these kids who are already handcuffed with their heads down or sitting down, and they're like, pepper spraying as if they're spraying petunias in their yard. And these are this is what's going on at all these stores. And it happened across the country. Violent incidents. I mean, really? I guess tempers and tensions have reached some sort of a boiling point. 20 people were injured at a San Fernando Valley Walmart, which authorities refer to as a competitive shopping incident, right? You have footage from an attempted shooting from an attempted robbery in another Walmart store near Oakland, right? Which is crazy. You have a shooting or gunfire, I guess, at Cross Mill Creek in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Cross Creek Mall. So shots were fired outside the mall near the food court entrance, and one suspect ran inside the mall, and other people were following him, and shoppers left the mall, and then some of the stores closed. This is like at 2 o'clock in the morning. There were some fights that broke out in Rome, New York, at the electronics department of a Walmart store. I guess Walmart was the place where a lot of this stuff happened, but there were some other places as well where people were using pepper spray. Am I the only one that thinks this has gotten a little out of hand? I mean, really, to save another 15 cents or another $10, you're going to, like, pepper spray people? I don't know. Maybe I'm out of line here. 404-872-0750. I thought you might want to weigh in. I do want to get your deals of the day, and there's some good deals to tell you about. And I also want to talk a little bit more about what you can expect for Cyber Monday, which is the day that everybody goes back to work after this long holiday weekend and the shopping begins. So let me tell you a little bit about some of the deals that we found, actually, that I thought were pretty amazing. Sam and I were perusing the Thanksgiving Day deals in the paper, and we saw it's $7.80, not a 1080 flat screen TV, but the other one, a less high def version, right? Remember when no TVs were high def? Anyway, a 51-inch television set for $500. We saw that. I think that was probably the best deal of all time. That was just sort of amazing. Discover Card is offering a great Black Friday Cyber Monday deal from Shop Discover. So Shop Discover gives you 5 to 20% off as a cashback bonus, right? So you use your card, you go through the Discover Card site, and they have like 175 retailers. And if you buy something from those retailers' websites coming through Shop Discover, you get 5 to 20% as a cashback bonus, which is actually an amazing deal because then you can use that like cash. And we've done that a lot. But now they're giving an extra 5% cashback bonus from over 70 retailers. We've done this when we've bought technology, like from J&R in New York. So you don't end up paying the tax. You get the technology, and then you get like an extra 15% discount as a cashback bonus, which I can then use at L.L. Bean, which is another Shop Discover retailer, and then I end up getting 20% off. So you kind of double up on your discounts, which is sort of amazing. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty good deal just from Discover Card. There are some other amazing deals, and we saw, you know, just the regular stuff. But you know, there were other kinds of deals out there, and you can search for more deals at like TGIBlackFriday.com and DealCatcher.com. They had some really good deals, I thought, as well. Red Laser, which is part of the eBay world, they had some really good deals. Shopping by The Find had some good stuff. They have coupon codes and all the rest. Of course, we've got Black Friday deals at FatWallet.com, so we know that we've had some good stuff there. So there's lots of places now that are just collecting all of these deals and sort of showcasing them for you, which is pretty nice. 404-872-0750, happy to take your calls. If you want to weigh in and you have been out shopping, would love to hear what's going on. We're also going to do extra traffic today so you get a sense of what's going on in all the parking lots. We usually talk to Captain Herb. I don't know if he's around today, but we'll be watching the activities on the roads for you as well as we move into this holiday weekend. Linda joins us on the line from Decatur. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, I had a question about my Bank of America credit card account.
Okay.
It appears as if each month they send me a minimal charge, and I always put a couple hundred extra dollars on it to try to pay the account down. But it appears as if once they do that, then they put the way it was explained to me, the interest for the next month on there with that particular payment. And needless to say, the bill is not coming down very much at all.
That's sort of interesting.
Something was incorrect about that.
It doesn't seem like that's the way it's supposed to work. So they're supposed to credit, as long as you're paying at least the minimum amount, anything above that is supposed to get credited towards the balance, unless you have some sort of a strange card. But as you say, it doesn't seem like that's really happening. So when you called them, they said what to you?
Well, I asked them, I said, well, what does the minimum payment consist of? And she explained that it was part of paying down the principal, I would imagine, and the interest rate. But I said, but you always go back and put in another interest rate. And she explained to me that that was for the next month. That don't seem kind of
correct
to me.
I'm not sure why you're prepaying interest and they're not supposed to be double billing you anymore. Did you talk to a supervisor?
No, I just talked to whoever answered the phone.
I think I would call back and talk to a supervisor. And see if you can get a better explanation. And then you should pull out the fine print from your card account. If you don't have it, they can email it to you.
Okay.
So that you can understand exactly how interest gets charged and how cards get paid off.
Right, right.
Because if you're trying to pay down that card and they're not letting you, that's a problem.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I've been paying, and I'm not using the card. I don't even use the card, and it's still not coming down.
Right. So
once they put this interest back into it.
How much do you have on the account?
I think right now the bill is somewhere around like $11,000 or $12,000.
Okay. So your sort of minimum amount has got to be what, $100, couple hundred?
Oh, well, no, they're sending me minimum amounts of somewhere in the area between $300, $400, $500 a month.
Okay. So that's great. So that's they're putting you on the new plan, so to try and get you paying down, and you're adding another couple hundred bucks on top of that?
Right. And then they go back and put the interest for the next month on it.
I guess I'm just not sure why you're paying interest a month in advance. But you need to read the fine print, because that may be what this account says. And what you might need to do is you might need to find a zero balance card that you can transfer this to,
mm-hmm.
so that you aren't paying any interest for, let's say, the first 6 months or a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the money is going to go towards paying down that account. Because think about it. If your bill is for $12,000 and you're at a zero balance account, you could, or even a 2% account, your $700 or $800 a month that you're pouring at this is going to make a huge dent right away.
Right. Okay.
So I think you might want to look for a card that you can put this in. I wouldn't necessarily cancel the card you have, because you don't want to damage your credit history if you've had it for a long time. But transferring the balance off of that card is probably a good idea.
Okay.
All right,
then. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving. 19 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Some people are starting to call in with their deals of the day. If you have seen a great deal, I would love to hear from you. 404-872-0750. You can also try us on Twitter, at GLINK. Saving Adventure on Twitter said that Dick's Sporting Goods advertised a product that they didn't have a spot for, so it's not a sold out, just a not carry. Isn't that a bait and switch? It probably is. We'll talk about that and other deals of the day that you are or are not seeing next on the Clark Howard Show. So stay tuned for more on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. 25 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blink. Thanks for joining us today. Talking about Black Friday, Cyber Monday, competitive shopping, macing other shoppers, and, of course, answering your financial questions. Tara joins us on the line. Hey, Tara, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Well, first of all, I would like to say I agree with you. I think some of the shopping has gotten out of hand.
Well, thank you.
I really, really do.
Yeah, so, it seems a little crazy, huh? I don't carry pepper spray, but I'm thinking I might have to start doing that.
I'm thinking it's a bit extreme. That's just me, but I totally agree with you. As a matter of fact, I called because I wasn't going to go out today just because I'm like, I'm not dealing with the madness. But my neighbor called me and said, oh, they're having a big sale at PetSmart, and we both have a bunch of pets. So I said, okay, I'll go. And PetSmart actually is offering some really great deals today at 50% off. So I spent $80, and I saved $70.
Wow.
And they have a great deal right now. If you buy some cat litter, it's normally $14.99. You get it for $8.99. Well, at checkout, they give you a $5 coupon. You can turn right back around and get that same cat food same kitty litter for $3.99. So it was a great deal. Yep.
That was a great deal.
That was a great deal. I could not resist that. And Bed Bath & Beyond is offering 20% off your entire purchase.
Ooh, that's good. Do you need a coupon?
That's a good deal. No, you can actually, if you, here's a little trick. If you didn't bring one, go to the store manager and ask them and they will give it to you. Because we did that.
So what did you buy at Bed Bath & Beyond? Because it's really interesting. What you're talking about buying is not what I would call big fancy stuff. You're not buying clothes. You're buying, like, necessities.
Exactly.
Like, kitty litter's necessity, right?
Yep. We got towels at Bed Bath & Beyond, which were on sale, and then we got the 20% off. Because I bought some towels from Costco several years ago, and, you know, they just, after 5 years, they lose their absorbency. Any towel does, so I just got them there. But we did also go to Costco, and I will tell you, you talked about a TV earlier. We got a great deal on a Samsung 40-inch 1080p high-definition TV. It was normally $669, and it was $180 off, so we got it for $489.
Wow.
And out of all the deals I saw there at Costco, that was the one that was the most popular, and when we got there, there were only two left. The Black Friday deals that they did have, the $249 32-inch TV with the kind of an off, it was in Westinghouse.
Right.
That was still fully stocked. But
wow.
The Samsung, because the Samsung makes a good TV, that was a great deal and the best seller for them today.
Unbelievable. Well, Tara, it sounds like you actually bought some great stuff.
We did. But I said, thing is, you wanted to, you know what the deals were out there.
Yeah.
And it's not been too bad where we went. And I don't feel like we were caught up in mayhem today. So I don't mind going out if it's like that.
Well, I really appreciate you. I'm sorry to cut you off. I really appreciate that you called and told us that. And I'm even happier that you didn't feel like you needed to mace anybody in the Costco aisle. I mean, even better. There were just, you know, nobody was fighting over those last two TVs. What's your deal of the day? 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online at Twitter at GLINK. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be right back.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, filling in for Clark today, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to tweet with me online. Twitter is starting to become very active. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. And some folks are starting to tweet different kinds of deals that they have seen. Stanley is asking if there are any deals out there for a 32-gigabyte iPod Touch. Julep Nail Parlor is tweeting that they have a Julep Maven Black Friday deal for until the 27th, and you get three months of Maven for the price of two, and I confirm that on their website. I'm trying to confirm a report that there is a first-generation iPad refurbished for 64 gigabytes on sale for $349. I have not been able to confirm that yet, but working on it. That would be an amazing deal of the day if that were actually true. So we're looking for your deals of the day, talking about Black Friday. One thing I want to talk about is that Black Friday shoppers are trending younger, and the early analyst reports are saying that this could be one of the best Fridays, Black Fridays in history. It's barely afternoon, and some new reports from Fox Business have said that 152 million shoppers are expected to hit stores today, which would be roughly half of the United States population. And if you just discount everybody under the age of 10, it's a lot higher percentage of the U.S. population, about 60% of the U.S. population. Walmart opened their doors, we know, early, but we're also seeing that online sales are up dramatically, up 39% from last year on Thanksgiving. Mobile traffic, so the number of consumers using a mobile device to visit a retail store, was up 15%, was 15.2%, up 6.5% year over year. The number of people shopping online this year has grown to 11.9%. That's almost triple from last year. Early indications indicate that online retail sales are up 18%, scorching year over year. Doesn't necessarily mean they're spending any more money. It just means that more people are shopping. We saw sales begin to accelerate around 9 a.m. on the East Coast, 6 a.m. in California. for mobile. Traffic was really big, so the strong numbers seem to be pointing to a record Black Friday. Big CEO retailers like Macy's, Target, Walmart are all saying that this has been one of the best year in history. Goldman Sachs did a 2011 holiday spending intention survey. 62% of respondents said they plan to spend the same amount or more compared with a year earlier purchase. So these are all really positive and good numbers, and it's going to be very encouraging to anybody who's out there looking for signs that, you know, we're actually having a very good holiday season. It's very interesting. Now, who is doing the actual shopping? And one of the most interesting things is that Black Friday shoppers are trending younger. So if you look at who was supposed to go out, the National Retail Federation did its survey, and they found that about 57-58% of 18 to 24-year-olds said that they would go shopping the Friday, Saturday, or Sunday after Thanksgiving. 25 to 34 was almost about the same, but then it drops down from 35 to 44. It was about 39%. 45 to 54, I'm sad to say, that is the category that I now fall into. That was down to about 25%, 26%. Next group up, 55 to 64, it was at 20%, and then the 65-plus, they were having none of it, and about 10% of the people who are 65 years old or older were planning on shopping. But overall, we were looking at sort of younger people who were really out in force, especially late at night. So maybe there is something to this opening in the middle of the night, and people are actually going shopping, and me, I'm just sleeping. But kind of interesting to see. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Taking your questions, chatting a little bit about Black Friday, real estate, money, whatever we can do to help today while we're filling in for Clark. Daniel joins us on the line from Duluth. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Lee. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have been in my house for about 2 years now on an FHA loan of 5.12%.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking to refinance, mostly everybody says that because of FHA fees have gone up, it's not worth it for me to refinance. So I was wondering if that's a valid option or if that's true, and also how hard is it to refinance from an FHA to a conventional loan?
Well, the problem is that FHA has changed its fee structure, and they now have like a 1.5-point fee up front. And it makes it really expensive. I mean, they're trying to recoup all the money. The FHA system is almost broke, and they have to recoup the money that they've been paying out for all of these HUD homes, which are FHA foreclosures. You know, does it pay for you to refinance? Well, do you have any equity in your house?
I do not. It's just I've been there for 2 years.
Okay. And what did you put down when you bought the property?
I put 3.5%.
Okay. So has that disappeared altogether?
I think the house still kept its value for the most part. So I guess whatever I've put in the 2 years, that would be the most I would have in there.
Right. So unless you qualify for a Making Home Affordable refinance,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if you do or you don't, but you can go to makinghomeaffordable.gov. You're looking for the HARP program, Home Affordable Refinance Program.
Okay.
Unless you qualify for that program, and I'm not sure you do, then it would be very difficult for you to refinance unless you had about 5% in cash or 10% in cash that you could put towards this property.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you would have private mortgage insurance to pay.
I do that right now.
Yeah, so you're paying that with FHA, but you would pay maybe a little bit less with a straight-up refinance. But really, the goal is to save money when you do the refinance, and there's some new rules in place that if you're not going to save what they consider to be significant enough money, they're not going to be able to do the refinance for you.
Okay, understand.
So you need to either come to the table with cash or, you know, figure out some other way to prove more equity in the property, probably to get out of an FHA.
Okay, thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. I'm sorry I don't have better news. Happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully things will turn around a little bit, and you will be able to refinance, take advantage of the lower rates. 44 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Let's continue on with the calls. Paul joins us on the line from Cartersville. Hi, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And what's on your mind today?
Well, I did a transaction over the Internet, an online purchase, and when I got my credit card statement, it showed a fee. And I called the credit card company, and they said that the bank that I was doing business with was overseas, and they charged me 3%. And I felt like they should have at least alerted me that, you know, I was doing business with a bank that's, you know, out of the States, and there was going to be a fee.
What did you do with the bank? What bank is it?
Well, all I did was just, I used my credit card with the online company that I was doing business with. But when I got my statement, the credit card company had charged me a fee.
So let me back up. Is the online company you were doing business with was an overseas company and you didn't know it was overseas?
That's correct.
Not the bank was overseas. That's what they said,
that I was doing business with a bank that was overseas, that the company used a bank that was overseas.
Okay, well, the company... Okay, so credit cards now, all of them except for, I think it's Capital One, all of them charge significant amounts for overseas purchases. So that's in the fine print of your credit card transactions. That's why I got a Capital One card, because when you charge, I think it's only either they don't charge it or it's 1%. Different companies, you have to search really hard when you're dealing with international transactions, but it sounds like you didn't even realize that the company you were working with was overseas.
That's correct. Now, how would I find out if I do another transaction over the Internet, what would alert me to the fact that this is a transition that's going to acquire this fee?
I think you're going to have to be a little bit more careful and ask more questions, because if it's a company that's based in wherever, Europe or Asia or somewhere else, and they're...
I have no indication of that at all.
Right. So then you really have to do... what kind of a company was it?
It was a website designer.
Uh-huh. And how did you find them?
On the Internet.
Right.
I just Googled, you know, website design. They had a very good, you know, promotion, and I felt like that was the one for me.
Why? And did you actually have a real conversation with anybody?
Yes, I did.
And did they give you a proposal?
I didn't get a written proposal. No, I did. They had a special, and they just told me what the special was. I was able, once I get the site, to input, upload some of my information in it as I seen fit, as often as I seen fit, and I like that. And so I was kind of lured in. But I never, you know, once we discussed the fee, that was kind of like it. And, the price of the site, that was it. We weren't, you know, I didn't inquire whether you were, you know, dealing overseas or you had a bank overseas. And I didn't inquire of that.
Well, I think that you have to start asking those questions, because then you don't get, or you have to go find a credit card that's not going to charge you that much.
Right.
For an international transaction. But it doesn't seem like it's the credit card company's fault here. It's really you not understanding who you're doing business with. And I have to say, you got to know.
And because that's the lesson I paid for.
Well, you only paid 3% for that lesson.
3%.
And that's not so horrible. Even if
it's
you used PayPal, you would have paid like 2.75%, because they upcharge for the fees. What you have to say to the guy is, I mean, if he had charged you an extra 3% but included the fee, right? You know, and somehow you didn't get charged that fee, then it wouldn't have been a problem for you. But you just weren't prepared properly.
Right.
So if you're going to pay them again, I think you should talk to them about where it is, and I think you should try and look for a credit card that'll only charge you 1%, or nothing.
Correct. Well, I understand now. I mean, I would have preferred just knowing that there was going to be a fee attached instead of not knowing and then finding it on my credit card statement.
Absolutely. Absolutely, but they probably don't want you knowing that they're in India or wherever they are.
That's correct.
And you really need to know where you're doing business with, because it sounds to me, did you even check out who they were?
I did not.
This could have been a very different conversation, Paul. This could have been a conversation like, I got scammed. I got scammed by this company that I found on the Internet, right? But that didn't happen to you.
Well, actually, I did check out some of their work. They, he did send me a couple of sites that he finished. And so, you know, that, yeah, I did check out their work. Man, it is a legitimate company. But the fact is, I got the, I didn't read the fine print in my agreement with my credit card company. And neither did I inquire of him, you know, and which I know now to ask if this is a company that's working outside the states and have, you know, doing banking outside the states. So,
well, I think, listen, I think for 3%, you learned a lot.
Yes.
And you did it in a way that you still actually have a product you're happy with. And a company you think is reasonable, which I got to say, overall, this is a cheap lesson. You got off cheap. This is your Black Friday deal of the day.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'll take it to be that. She'll appreciate your advice, too.
All right, Paul.
Thank you for this lesson. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm just trying to put a silver lining on it for you. 50 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. More on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, your questions coming up next. News Talk WSB. 56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glinken for Clark today. So glad you could join us online. We have been able to confirm a first-generation iPad, 64 gigabytes, at Micro Center for $349, which is great. So thank you so much for the person who, for a guy named Tim, who sent me that confirmation. Love it. Love it a lot. 404-872-0750, looking for what your deal of the day is this Black Friday and other kinds of things we can answer for you here at the station. We're the best Black Friday deal as far as I'm concerned because, seriously, we are free. All of our questions, your questions and our answers. No cost at all. Anthony joins us on the line. Hey, Anthony, welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hey, Elise, how are you? Where did the term Black Friday originate?
So the term comes from the idea that retail stores generally operate in the red, meaning that it costs them more to do their business than they actually take in.
Uh-huh.
And on Black Friday, that's the day that companies historically, retail businesses historically, became profitable for the year.
Uh-huh.
And so from Black Friday, so the day after Thanksgiving for the next 5 weeks, that's all profit traditionally to the retailers.
Okay.
So that was kind of where, is my understanding, where the term originated. But beyond that, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I've just been scratching my head over the past couple of days and, you know, with my family over the weekend. You know, no one knew where it came from, so.
Yeah, it's that idea that, that stores have to operate in the red most of the year. They've got overhead and they've got employee costs and they have the cost of the merchandise. And it takes them almost the whole year to sort of get to the place where they become profitable. And that's why sort of Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and then into the Christmas holiday has always been such a focus for retailers because it's these 5 weeks that are the make or break pretty much for the whole year. Now, I think in some businesses that isn't the case anymore, but in other businesses it is. And in general, for retailers, because of the sort of not great increases and decreases in pricing, the challenges that they faced with the cost of the wholesale of their goods, going up and other costs as well. I suspect it's not even Friday, Black Friday, that the day they go into the black. It could be even further into December than that. But that's the history as far as I know it. Anybody else want to add in? Tweet me at GLINK 404-872-0750. We're going to continue the discussion in a couple of minutes. News, weather, and traffic next on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink. It's Black Friday. We've got Cyber Monday coming up on Monday morning, the day that everybody goes back to work, flips on their computers, and shops like crazy. We're looking at deals of the day, and we've been getting some great tweets online. We've just confirmed with from two different people with a confirmation that the Micro Center at 2340 Pleasant Hill Road in Duluth, Georgia. I'm looking at the receipt, a copy of the receipt. God, I love Twitter. An iPad 640 gigabyte Wi-Fi refurbished sold for $349.99. When it came out, it was $799. Tim sent me a copy of his receipt, and then I got another one. Just great. There weren't that many left there, but that's actually a really terrific deal, and I hope you're there. We also heard from Carl. He was referring to the phone call that we just had as we were getting ready to call it for last hour. From Paul, who did a transaction over the internet, looking for a web design company, got a great website out of it, had no idea where they were based. It turns out they were abroad, and he got hit with a 3% credit card fee, and he thought that he got cheated, but really, he hadn't checked out who that company was, and I think a 3% fee for all the stuff that could have gone wrong, it could have been a much worse deal, is actually pretty fantastic. So he's going to go find a credit card because he wants to keep working with this company that doesn't charge him 3%. Maybe it's just 1%. In the meantime, Carl points out that the guy buying the website could have done a Whois search on the business's domain, and it would have showed them, showed you exactly who is behind it, where they're located. It's a great point, Carl, and I should have mentioned it myself. So thank you so much for tweeting that information. Again, we're having quite the interactive conversation online on Twitter today during the show. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. That's how you find me. And if you follow me, you'll be able to see what everybody else is seeing. You can also listen to the show, of course, online if you're not listening through your radio at WSBRadio.com. 404-872-0750. I thought that we would continue on with our calls here on the show today. It is 9 minutes past the hour. Let's go to the phones. David joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, David.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thank you.
I have kind of an interesting situation. Over the last 10 years or so, I've had a lot of financial issues. Last 2 years, I've been unemployed. I've recently got part-time work. But I received a letter from the IRS today that stated that a vehicle that I purchased back in 05, 04, they canceled or they wrote off the debt, which added to my income on my IRS form.
Right. Did you actually have a vehicle that was repossessed?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a repo. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
There was, how much did you owe when that was repossessed?
Well, I gave them $10,000 cash when I picked it up, and they got the vehicle back. So they actually ended up ahead of the game, but that's not really my biggest issue. What it's going to boil down to is I lived in Georgia since December of 05. I lived in California prior to moving here, and I do plan on going back to I do plan on going back to California probably spring or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't received any kind of information as far as debts that I owe in California, but I do have, I am receiving information regarding debts that I have in Georgia. I race sports cars, and I've been in a lot of accidents and incurred a lot of medical bills, and which just put me behind. And What I'm wondering is, what's the best way to find out exactly? I don't have a lot of paperwork on bills that are, you know, past due.
Have you looked at your credit history lately?
Beg your pardon?
Your credit history.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is that going to give me a complete picture of
it's going to give you a pretty darn accurate picture. I don't know if it'll be totally complete, but usually medical bills get tied back to your Social Security number.
Right.
So that would, it should show up there if you owe bills and you haven't paid them. I mean, all this kind of stuff should show up. Your repos should show up, all the rest. You can go to annualcreditreport.com.
Uh-huh.
And you can get a free copy of your credit history from each of the three credit reporting bureaus. And in your case particularly, I suggest you pull down all three at the same time.
I will, yeah.
And then take a look and see what's listed. And that should be, for example, if you have an IRS debt, that should be listed. If you have these medical bills, that's probably listed. If you've paid late on a credit card, it'll be listed. It's got your payment history. It's got the debts that you owe that could be tied back to your credit, to your, excuse me, Social Security number, and a history of all of that. So you should be able to see it there.
Okay. That, so what about like a company that, that turns it over to a, you know, a
collection agency? Absolutely. It'll all be listed.
Okay. That's good news. Because I just don't want to, I mean, I hate to file bankruptcy, but I don't want to leave things undone.
Okay. Well, there are.
I don't want the prizes.
Uh-huh. I agree. Well, if you have bankruptcy, what will end up happening is your bankruptcy attorney will have to put out notice, and then all the potential creditors will have to contact him within a certain period of time. I think it's 6 months.
Okay.
And anybody who doesn't contact the credit, the trustee for the bankruptcy will be out of luck.
Does that include people that I'm not aware of?
It should, because they put in they're required to put in public notice.
Okay.
So when somebody dies, this is sort of the process that happens as well. The estate has to put out a public notice that anybody who has any debts, claims against the estate has a certain period of time to come in and make their claim, or they're out of luck. And I believe the same thing happens with bankruptcy as well.
Great. Well, thank you for so much for your help, and hope you have a nice weekend, okay?
Thank you very much. You do the same. It sounds like you've got a lot of issues on your plate. I hope they work out. 404-872-0750. It is 14 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Let's go back to the phones. Fanny joins us on the line. Hey, Fanny, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How can I help you today? Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, I tell you. I'm just sitting here looking at a letter I had talked to. I don't know if it was you that I talked to earlier or not about this amount of money that I won in this sweepstakes.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're probably talking to Crystal Wheeler, who's been, or maybe Shannon, who's been answering the phones today. Tell me about this letter. What kind of a letter is it?
It's a declaration herein constitutes your rights. But what it is, they want me to send them like $9,000.
Ooh, I hope you're not going to do that. Why would you send somebody
$9,000?
Good, then you can't send it. Why? What does the letter say? Why are you supposed to send them that money?
Because I have won, so they say, but you know I know better.
Yeah, you know better. You didn't win anything you didn't apply for.
Right. It's supposed to be $1,750,233.39.
Uh-huh.
Our director then issued and finalized statement on your behalf as quoted.
Good. That is completely fake.
Okay.
It's fraud, and you, thank gosh, you don't have the $9,000 to send them. I wish you had it, but I'm so glad you wouldn't send it.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, good. So you're just letting everybody know these letters are going out?
Okay.
And that's a great thing, because otherwise somebody might get caught in that scam.
I know. And they called me this morning after all the calls that I've been getting. Like, the last one was December the 5th is when they're supposed to be calling me again.
They keep calling you and to tell you that you need to send them $9,000 so
right.
They can send you $1.75 million.
Right.
And you know as well as I know that if that deal existed, their mothers would be getting it first. Or probably not. Right. They would be taking it. This really isn't going to come to you. All right. So Fanny, you're just going to rip up that letter, and the next time they call you, you can tell them that you are filing a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission.
Okay.
And you
okay.
are reporting their number, and you are going to call the Attorney General's Office of Georgia and give them the phone number and this letter that they sent, and they better never call you again or you are going to have bigger trouble for them, and I guarantee you won't ever be called again.
Lord have mercy. I'm filing a complaint to Better
Business Bureau is good, but you might also want to file a complaint with the Governor's Office of Consumer Affairs.
Okay.
And you probably would like to call the Attorney General's office and file a complaint as well, and provide them with this letter and the phone number when people call you.
And you know what? Now, he gave me a name. It's Mr. Baker. But and the number come up on my ID caller, and when I tried to call it back, I couldn't get nobody for days.
You know what's interesting is I actually talked about that on, I think it was Tuesday, that the number of fake caller IDs has absolutely skyrocketed, and it is so easy now for companies to put a fake caller ID number so that you think that, like, say, the Social Security office is calling, or who knows, the White House is calling, and you pick up the phone and it turns out to be some sort of a sales transaction. In fact, it happened to me Wednesday night as I was getting ready for Thanksgiving and cooking, and I get this call and I pick it up and thinking it's actually something important, and it was like the firefighter fund or whatever, you know, the police fund or whoever they were asking for money. And I said to them, you guys are barking up the wrong tree. We don't make these donations over the phone. And meanwhile, I'm cooking for Thanksgiving. Give it a rest. So, Fanny, you go and file those complaints, and don't you send them a dime, because I promise you there is no $1.75 million waiting for you on the other side. 18 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's see if we can get in one more quick call before the break. Steve joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Steve, what's your question?
Hi, Lisa. Happy Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday to you.
I've got a question in regards to my mother, who lives in San Diego. My father recently, he passed away on July 1st.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And thank you. But my mom has a house in San Diego that's probably worth about $1 million. She owes approximately $175,000 on it. And she's got 22 years left on a 30-year fixed loan that's at a rate of about 5.625. And I'm wondering if she should pay the loan off completely, or
what does it look like? What do her finances look like if she pays off the 175 completely? What else does she have in cash?
Well, she's got about $460,000 in the bank,
mm-hmm.
And mostly from life insurance, and her annual income from my dad was a 100% disabled veteran, so from his disability and Social Security, her annual income is probably about $55,000 or $60,000.
Okay.
So that money right now is just sitting in the bank.
She should take the $175,000 and she should pay off the loan.
She should. Okay.
She should, because instantly she's having a return of 5.625%, which is fantastic right now, that she can't get that kind of return anywhere.
Okay.
It's also going to free up cash flow for her. So of her $50,000 or $55,000 a year in income, I'm sure she's paying a nice chunk of change every month on that loan, and this way she doesn't have to do that.
Okay.
And that'll help preserve her income stream, and as long as that income stream is steady, I think having another, say, $12,000 a year in after-tax income probably will help her quite a bit and allow her to do some of the things she'd really like to do, like probably lavish attention on her lovely son and maybe children that you might have. And that's probably a good move for her. And so that will still leave her with, you know, about $300,000 in the bank, but she's got more cash flow, and it sounds like she'll have plenty to live on. And so unless something really crazy happens, she'll be doing okay. And as long as that's very conservatively invested in the bank and grows a little bit over time, over the years, she'll be okay. Happy Thanksgiving, Steve. More on Black Friday and Cyber Monday, 404-872-0750, next on News Talk WSB.
This is WSB meteorologist Kirk Mellish. Plenty of disagreement in the computer models for Sunday and Monday, so stay tuned for any extremes. Your full weather report in 10 minutes on WSB and online at WSBRadio.com.
27 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. It is Black Friday. I'm Elise Blank with our annual Deals of the Day. We are talking about all the wild deals that are out there. If you were looking for an iPad, great deal. We got confirmation. Micro Center had 8 left. This was about 38 minutes ago. They had 8 iPad 1s, the original iPad, refurbished, 640 gigabytes, which is really good, with Wi-Fi, $349. I actually am looking at a copy of the receipt. You can follow me and tweet on at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, on Twitter, which is really, truly amazing. We're also looking at an extra 15% off plus free shipping, with another extra 10% off on a whole bunch of other stuff through Macy's. Macy's opened up at midnight, and they have just been mobbed, apparently. But they've got a whole bunch of online Black Friday deals that are going to start now all the way through Monday. They also have an in-store savings pass, and there was all kinds of extra stuff going on there as well. And they're just, you know, showing all different kinds of things. 40% off here, 50% off here. There's just lots of interesting deals if you're willing to shop and poke through and all the rest, like my friend Leonora did at midnight last night. Actually, she got picked up at 11:30 so she could get in line to get to Macy's on time. I haven't checked back with her. She's probably still sleeping. I have to check back with her and see how many people were actually there. It's 28 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We got more to come. Stay tuned here on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. So glad you could join us here. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Join us on Twitter, where we are having a lively conversation, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And that's one way to follow the conversation, is just by searching for my name, Elise Glink. So in international money news today, Hungary has had its debt service, or its credit rating, cut to junk by Moody's Investors Services, according to fund managers. And I believe this just happened this morning. Hungary is trying to get a loan from the International Monetary Fund. It is definitely one of the organization, the companies that has had trouble financially. And of course, what happens when you get downgraded, right? What ends up happening is that the cost for borrowing goes up. And we've seen this happen in Greece. We've seen it happen in Italy. We've seen it happen with Portugal and Spain. And now Hungary is going to have to redouble its efforts to get aid from the IMF so that it isn't, they don't go broke trying to pay the cost of the bills for this. Now, the Prime Minister of Hungary, who shunned seeking an IMF loan, he may actually have to start talking, tap dancing a little bit, and try and strike a quick deal, or the market is going to force them to, according to some of the different loan portfolio managers. There is really some concern about what's going on in Europe overall. We've talked about this on my show quite a lot. I know that Clark has talked about it as well. When you get into a situation where governments and the cost of borrowing continues to increase, makes it harder to afford those payments. And so what we're seeing with Hungary hopefully won't be the beginning of a domino effect collapsing all over Europe, as you're seeing different countries start to have very different costs for borrowing. Over in Italy, we've seen Italy's borrowing costs almost double, which has been a huge problem for them. Italy had to pay almost 7% for six-month bills at an auction, this morning, and that was, of course, fanning investor concern that the world's fourth biggest borrower, that's what Italy is, believe it or not, may struggle to finance its debt and pay its debt. That's a problem that we've seen already for Greece, which is having to pay much higher interest rates as well. 7% is pretty significant. We saw that with Greece, and those costs don't make it very easy for the governments to pay these bills. And what that happens then is that they have to cut even more, fire more workers, struggle to find an even
tougher way or a more effective way to actually pay down all of this debt. And so we're seeing just, you know, again, it's very frustrating because you're watching different pieces of Europe fall into recession. There's a tremendous effect on our country with what's going on there, and we are, you know, very concerned about how this is going to have a sort of even a short-term, if not a long-term effect on what we're doing. We're going to have to see as we continue on what these auctions actually do, but again, each auction of debt brings up more concessions that have to be made. It's tougher. We've watched Germany and France really lay down the law to Greece. That happened over the last couple of weeks. It's a very, very difficult situation that, frankly, I'm not sure that any country wants to be in. But when we talk about, I mean, look at what happened in our markets today. They dropped a little bit. Markets are already closed for today because we've had, it's a half-day holiday. But if you look at what's going on with markets around the world, first of all, this was the roughest week, roughest Thanksgiving week since, I think, 1932. Anytime you have to bring up the word stock market and the 1930s in the same sentence, it's a real concern. But the worst week, certainly, for the stock market in 2 months, definitely had, you know, looking at what's going on even beyond, you're really seeing just really terrible trouble all the way around. So when you have this kind of a situation and you're working on it, I mean, all these countries are working on it, it's really reflected in what's going on all over the world, world markets. So if you look at what happened with world markets,
Europe and FTSE were a little bit up, but everybody else was down. And that's just a continuing problem. All right, 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones, see what's on everybody's mind. Oops, as I play around with my headphones a little bit. We have Mike joining us on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. Mike, you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy day. What a beautiful day.
Very nice. How can we help you today?
Listen, I'm 61. My wife is 58. We have virtually no debt other than our home mortgage. We're 7.5 years into a 15-year mortgage. We're right side up on the house and everything and all our payments. But I'm able, the interest rate is 5.1%, and my credit union will give me a 7.5 year mortgage at 3.5%. However, the closing costs are a little bit over $4,000.
You're getting a 7.5 year mortgage?
7.5 year mortgage.
Wow.
From my credit union.
And what is the rate?
3.5%.
Really interesting. That is actually the shortest mortgage I've heard about. I've been hearing about 10% loans, but not 7.5 year loans.
And we called up to ask them about it, and they said they would do a 7.5 year because that's exactly what we have left at 5.1%. But the only reason I'm hesitating is because the closing costs are, like I said, a little bit over $4,200. So I don't know if I come out ahead behind.
Well, here's a question. You're shaving years off the loan that you have left, right? What did you say? You have 8 years left?
It's a push. I have 7.5 years left, and they're giving me a 7.5 year mortgage.
I'm not sure you're going to save any money. Now, technically, they're not supposed to be able to do the refinance if you're not saving money. But do they tell you how much? Have they done the amortization schedule? Have they told you how much you're going to save?
They have set me out what my payments would be, and what they did, they added in the $4,200 for the closing cost, and they also added in, I've got a HELOC of $3,000 left on that. So they added in that $7,000. The mortgage was $75,000, so they put it up to $82,000 and gave me the payoff, you know, the monthly payoff on that. It was just about a push. But I didn't really want to put the $4,000 or the $3,000 HELOC. The HELOC will be paid off in another 6 months because I put $400 or $500 a month against that.
I don't think you're saving any money here.
I do not think you're
saving any money. If you're not going to save money, and you've got 7.5 years left, and you've got 7.5 years on this new mortgage, and you've only got, it sounds like, 6 months left on this other HELOC that you're paying off, the home equity line of it. Where is the savings? In fact, if you take the $4,200 that they want to charge you in the closing costs, you'll more than pay off your HELOC, even though I understand they're financing it for you. But I just don't get why this is a good deal.
And neither did I, and that's why I wanted a second opinion on it. My wife and I go back and forth on it. We keep looking at it, and we've had it on our table for about 2 weeks, and are we going to call them back? Not going to call them back. And I just didn't see where I was getting any kind of benefit by doing that. Even though I was dropping the interest rate, I didn't see any benefit on it.
Yeah, dropping the interest rate, in my mind, is only one piece of the puzzle. I mean, when you look at, if you want a home run for refinancing, dropping the interest rate, sure. You want to lower your payment, but you really want to shave years off your loan. So if you can get all three of those, and of course limiting your closing costs, that's a home run to me, those four things.
Okay.
In your case, if you said to me, I'm going to get this loan paid off in 5 years, and the amount I'm paying is the same or slightly less, that would be great, but it's going to be paid off in the same amount of time, and you're not saving any money. You're not shaving years off the loan. Like, I don't know. It doesn't pass the sniff test for me.
It didn't to me, but we're not the best money people in the world when it comes to all that. We kind of thought the same way that you're thinking, but I really wanted a second opinion on it, just to bounce it off somebody that kind of knows money.
My opinion is, again, unless you're saving money or shaving years off the loan, don't see the point.
Well, I really appreciate your opinion. We listen to your show, and we appreciate the things you do for all of us out here.
Oh, well, thanks for saying that, Mike, and thanks for calling in. We really appreciate the interaction today. 404-872-0750. Harrison joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Harrison.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'll preface all this by saying that I am only 22 years old. I've never had a credit card, loan, or anything. And all this kind of started when I was opening up an account at the Delta Community Credit Union online, and I was prompted with a few security questions to verify my identity. And I think they were doing this through an Equifax credit check, because the same questions started coming up when I tried to get my Equifax credit check online. But the questions were asking me about what banks I had my mortgage and my auto loan with, but I don't have any loans like that. And so when I hit none of the above for the questions and tried to proceed, it wouldn't verify my identity, as if and that led me to believe, you know, I had gotten the questions wrong because someone had taken out these loans in my name. So I took out a fraud alert, and you know, tried to get my Equifax credit check, and the same thing happened with the security questions. I just couldn't verify my identity. Somehow or another, a credit check ended up being mailed to my house,
mm-hmm.
And nothing was on it, but it was just all, it was so sketchy, and, you know, I'd never gotten a credit check before. I just wanted to know if you had ever heard of anything like that happening before.
Well, it sounds like if there isn't anything weird on it that you got, it sounds like you have a very thin credit file, meaning that you don't... Do you have credit cards?
Right. No, I don't.
Right. So no credit cards. You don't really have any loans. Sometimes the systems act a little funky when somebody has a really thin credit file. And believe it or not, there's 50 million Americans who have either really thin credit, it's called a thin file, or no credit at all. And
right.
The problem is that you then have to build credit. And so what sounds like happens is that maybe they don't do such a great job at Equifax or Experian or TransUnion, you know, when you don't have enough credit to really have a credit history. So what you may want to do is, believe it or not, and I talked about this the other day, the best thing that you can do is to go online to either the Equifax Twitter feed or Equifax's Facebook site, and you can ask questions and people will interact with you there. I actually run something called the Equifax Finance blog, which is we do all the content for it and staff it with really fabulous experts, and they give tons of free advice, and you can interact with Equifax credit experts there as well. So what I would encourage you to do is go onto Facebook, and all the big companies have social media platforms now, so go onto Facebook or Twitter and ask that question, and you can, you will start to be able to have a dialogue with somebody from Equifax who might be able to get you a better answer. I don't know why it didn't work, but my, what I understand is when you have a thin credit file, it can cause these kinds of really strange problems. 52 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more News Talk WSB.
This is WSB meteorologist Kirk Mellish. Chance of rain tomorrow night into Monday and turning sharply colder. Your full report in 10 minutes on WSB and online at WSBradio.com.
57 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Klink sitting in for Clark today. Glad you could join us. Let's see if we can get a quick call in. Len joins us on the line from Griffin. Hi, Len.
Hi.
How are you? What's on your mind today?
I'm doing really well. My daughter's college band has been invited to London to march in the New Year's Day parade, and I want to send her spending money, bad money, and I wanted to know the best way to do that, for cash, traveler's checks, or a prepaid card.
Actually, I love the idea of her using her ATM. Usually, just using the ATM fee, you know, if it's somebody within the system, that's actually a great way to change money, because you can sort of go to any bank around and just pull money out with her ATM card. Just make sure, we talked about this earlier in the show, that she if she has a credit card, make sure it's like a Capital One credit card, which isn't going to charge her more than 1% on charges when she's over there. You don't want to get hit with a 3% or even a 4% fee for using a credit card abroad. But I, when I travel, I use my ATM card, take money out. You just have to tell the bank you're going to be abroad so that they know how to code the account correctly. She should go, take out £100, and that'll translate into whatever the current rate is with a little bit of an additional fee, and that should work just fine for you guys. 58 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Klink. We've got more of the Clark Howard Show coming up next on News Talk WSB.
Is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us this Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving. Cyber Monday is coming right up, believe it or not, and we are seeing all kinds of deals and things going on. Just really, it's kind of crazy, actually. Anyway, one of the things you have to think about with Cyber Monday is how much you're going to spend, because everything you spend in Cyber Monday has to be on a credit card, right? You're buying online, in the internet, and so you're going to be charging. I guess you could do it through a debit card, but I think most people are going to be using a credit card. And so you want to do what you can to get the best deals that you can. We talked earlier about how Discover Card is offering an additional 5% cash back on top of the regular cash back deals for its Shop Discover partners. And if you go, you go online into your Discover Card account, and then from there through to the retailers, and then you get their, you know, cash back bonus, and it gets, there's an additional 5% that you would get. Well, that's one way to maximize what you're doing online. But there are other deals that are available as well. You just want to be sure that you're not getting taken and that you're really getting the deal that you want. Always be sure to think about what the fees are if you're buying electronics online to then return those electronics. A lot of times you can't get online unless you buy these pieces of equipment online, and unfortunately if you try to return it, there's a problem. There might be a 15 or even 20% restocking fee. So you want to make sure that you understand the risks before you go in, so that you really understand what the financial risk is that you're taking. It's 8 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Our number, 404-872-0750. Ed joins us on the line from Jasper. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Elise.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a little problem with a financial institution. My wife had $117,000 in a 401k and Fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had $39,000 in AIG, and she wanted to roll the amount from AIG into Fidelity.
Okay.
Okay, so she applied for that. And what happened is Fidelity wrote AIG a check for the $117,000.
That's not so good.
So they realized their mistake, and they replaced that money. Well, in the meantime, AIG sent the $117,000 back, plus the $39,000 that they were supposed to roll over in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So now we have $275,000 in our account there. And this was in June of 2009. Okay. They sent us several letters.
They haven't fixed this since June of 2009?
Yes. They sent us several letters in 2009 wanting us to give them permission to take this money back out. And we said, okay, do it. You know, do what you need to do. They sent us a total of three letters. And every time my wife responded and said, fine, take the money back. It's yours. But every time, every month, we'd get a statement. The money would still be there.
Okay.
So I said, just forget it. You know, just let them worry about it because, you know, they're a big financial institution. They should take care of that.
Yeah, they should.
Okay. So they have contacted us now and say they want their money. And I say, okay, fine, take your money. But in the meantime, they have been investing this money, this $275,000, and it's lost around $20,000 because of the stock market going down.
What do you mean they have invested the money?
Well, they've been investing the money for us. Fidelity has.
You just didn't leave it in cash?
I beg your pardon?
You didn't leave the money in a money market account or a cash account?
No, this money is it's in 401k, which we've been investing, letting Fidelity invest that money for us.
Okay, and now they want you to replace the $20,000.
They want their $117,000 back.
Yeah.
And we say okay, but we don't want to take all the loss. We want you to take back what's. We want you to take a loss on that $117,000.
Okay. I totally get it.
Okay. So, you know, shouldn't that be a reasonable request?
It should be. Okay. And what did they say? No?
Well, they're wanting their total of $117,000 back.
Okay. So, here's the deal. I think you need some different kind of help. But first of all, what have you done about this? Have you actually escalated it? Have you gone to a management level? Have you gone into a Fidelity office?
No,
what have you
we
done?
Just talked to people that's called us.
Okay. So you have to first find somebody who's in a position of authority.
Okay.
And you can take all of the letters and you can take the responses and you can take your account statements and you should go to a Fidelity office. They have them in Atlanta. And try to speak to the manager of the whole office. You could call in advance and make an appointment if you want.
Okay.
And you should go in and have a conversation and just say, look, this is the situation. You guys have never taken this money out. Now this account has lost money. Thank you very much. We don't feel like we should take the whole loss.
Okay.
And see what he says. You need somebody in a position of authority, and he may not have enough authority to help you with this. If he does not have the or she does not have enough authority, then what you have to do is probably hire an attorney.
Okay.
To have a conversation with them. You could also, does your wife still work?
She's a retired school teacher.
Retired school teacher. So the 401k, it's not really a 401k then, it's an IRA?
Yes, I guess so, yes.
Well, that's a big difference because there's no company to go to say, help me with this.
Well, Fidelity is handling the money.
Yes, but in an IRA, you can decide whether to put money into a cash account or to invest it in the stock market. Now, what if the money had made $20,000? Would you have gotten the benefit of that, or would you have said to them, take half of that?
I would, sure, take it, you know, if they earned it. But what I want is we just want the money that we had in there plus what it's made, or if it's lost, you know, it's lost.
Right. I don't think it's an I'm saying that I think you didn't protect yourself, but they certainly have behaved badly. So there's enough blame to go around. And certainly on their part, 3 years ago, they should have taken the money out.
Right.
So I think that you are going to have to try and get somebody in a position of authority to have a conversation with.
Okay.
And I would start with a local branch and try to make an appointment with the manager of the branch.
Okay.
And from there, you can escalate into the C-level suite. Now, Fidelity is based in Boston. That's where their corporate headquarters are. And if you have to, the next escalation, I would say, would be the director of operations or the chief of operations, COO level.
Okay.
And start to, and try to make an appointment to talk to somebody in their office. You'll have to do it over the phone. But that would be the next step. Because they clearly weren't behaving properly. And then you may have to get a lawyer involved if they still won't help you out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I hope it works out. Let me know what happens, Ed.
Okay.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope it works out for you. 15 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Lee joins us on the line. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how are you, Lee?
I'm good. What's going on?
May of this year, we bought a new washer and dryer. It's the first one we've had in 20 years. Our other one was 20 years old, and we decided to get a new one. And bought a top of the line. 3 weeks ago, over 3 weeks ago, the transmission went out in it. And from we call one of the
transmission in
the transmission in the washer.
It sounds like a car.
That's what they called it.
The transmission in the washer went out. Okay.
That's what turns the drum, spins it, and what have you.
Okay. So the engine or whatever it is, transmission went out, and did they come out and try to fix it?
They did. They said they would have to order the part. It ended up being yesterday was the 14 days. So I called them this morning, and they told me that. As far as they knew, they was going to give us a new washer and dryer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a new washer, not a dryer. But anyway, they told me this morning when I called them, oh, the part is shipped, and we're going to get somebody out there Tuesday. I said, that's not what they told me. They said, well, that's what you're going to have to deal with, is basically what they told me. And it's customer no service, but they don't seem to care that we've been without a washing machine for 3 weeks.
No, I'm sure they don't care.
And so I'm trying to see what I can do. At least I'm about to pull my hair out, to be honest.
Well, the first thing that I would have done is when they said that it would take 3 weeks to get the part, I would have said something like, seems to me FedEx overnights.
That's what I told them, and you know what they told me? They would have to find the part and get FedEx to get the part to them, so.
And that took 3 weeks to find the part? They don't have a parts place?
The washing machine, the only thing I can figure, and they didn't tell me, is the washing machine is so new that they don't even have the thing in stock yet.
Okay, well, I think I wouldn't have let it go 3 weeks, or even if they said 14 days, I think I would have been on it a little more. But that said, so Tuesday is the soonest they can get somebody to come out?
Mm-hmm, that's what they said.
I think I would call back and push for it to be either tomorrow or Monday.
Okay, Elise, I didn't know what else to do.
I think you're being very polite, and I think you need to be a little tougher. And
okay.
It's been 3 weeks. Remind them that this is their new washer that blew out.
Right.
Now, if it's not working and you're just not going to get anybody there before Tuesday, you can wait and see what happens on Tuesday.
Okay.
And the washer might be perfectly fine. But if the washer doesn't work on Tuesday, I think then you have to call Best Buy and start the process of returning the washer and the dryer.
Okay, all right. That's what I've been trying to do since they told me it was going to be a while, and they just told me this is their rules. That's what they're doing, and basically they were sorry for my inconvenience, but that's what was going to happen. It was their way or no way.
Well, what are they doing for your inconvenience? I'm glad they're sorry about that. Are they providing you with discounts or coupons? Or
nothing, at least. They are providing me with nothing.
I don't know. It makes me pretty unhappy that Best Buy isn't stepping up here.
Yeah, and the Geeks, I'm sorry, they're also involved with them too, you know, so they're the ones that does their repair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just frustrated, and I didn't know what to do, and everything I tell them, they just tell you they're sorry and it's over with, you know, it's their way or the highway, and that's basically what they're telling me.
Have you tried complaining a little bit higher up?
I've tried to call a manager, I've talked to them on both ends.
Have you gone back to the store where you bought
it? I did. I went back on the store this following Monday and talked to a lady, and she told me to call and get a confirmation number for the 24th where they were closed yesterday, and they would get me a new washer out. So when I done that this morning, that's when they told me that they were not giving me a new washer. They was repairing the one. They found the parts, and they would be here and be able to repair the washer on Monday. Or Tuesday, I'm sorry, Tuesday.
Well, I think you should try and get them to come a little bit sooner.
Okay.
I think that you know, if it doesn't go well on Tuesday, I think you're going to have to consider other kinds of action.
Okay.
And we could talk about that, but I think you don't need to be so nice to them and polite. You sound like a very polite man.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think that the time for being polite is over,
hopefully,
and I think the time for being pretty darn tough started, and I'd love to see you go back there and speak to the manager of the store and just say, this is outrageous. I bought this from you, and you're not standing behind this.
Okay.
And I talked to the Clark Howard Show, and they said you should stand behind this.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll go back up there. Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome. And Lee, if it doesn't work out the way you want it to, I want you to call over to the Consumer Action Center, and the number for that is 404-892-8227. I don't think they're open today. They'll be open on Monday. And they may have some other super secret names and numbers that they might be able to give you that will get Best Buy to step up and do what's right here. It's 21 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. Six minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Link, sitting in for Clark. So glad you could join us today on this Black Friday, Cyber Monday, coming up this Monday. Clark will be back. Walk you through it, 404-872-0750. Nicole joins us on the line from Dawsonville. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Elise.
Nice to have you on the air today. What's going on?
Well, I've been listening to your show, and I got excited when I've heard you explain about streamlining a mortgage. And my husband is the one that is actually on the name of the mortgage, so I tried to educate him with what you had said and told him to call and tell him you only want to streamline, you don't want to refinance. And I don't know if I can say the name of the mortgage company, but it's a major mortgage company. And they told him they don't streamline, but they could reduce the interest rate if we paid over $5,000 in closing costs. And I said, well, that sounded like it was a refinance. And that wasn't what you had sort of educated me on, so I wanted to call and ask, do certain mortgage companies not streamline?
Yes, certain companies do not streamline.
Wow.
Very unfortunate. There are, you know, if you have an FHA loan, they're supposed to do something different, but just not happening. And by the way, $5,000 is really huge, a huge amount of money. What is the amount of your mortgage?
$158,000.
And what do you have, what's your interest rate?
I don't know the names of the two, but we signed on at 425, but I think I guess it would be the amortized is, I think, 5.1, 5.2.
Okay. I don't know. That sounds a little confusing to me, but I'm going to go with your interest rate is probably about 5.12.
Okay.
How many years left do you have on the loan?
Well, probably 28. We've been in it 2 years.
Okay, and how much equity do you have in the property?
Probably, I think we bought it at 165 and it's 158 now, so.
Did you get 100% mortgage or you had a down payment?
We did put a down payment.
Okay. Do you think the property has dropped in value in the last 2 years?
No. Nope. Okay. We had the inspection redone or the
appraisal?
Yep, and it came back at exactly, I think it was 163. So.
Okay, so you have a little bit of equity in the property, which is great. What I would do is start shopping around and seeing if you can do a little bit better. You may be able to drop this to, I don't know, if you could go with a 15-year loan, it would be amazing because you might be able to get it all the way down to 3 or 3.25%. But you may be able to do something at 20 years as well. What you want to do is save, and I've said this before, if you can lower the interest rate, lower your payment, shorten the number of years, and be very careful about your closing costs, that's a home run refi. That's the only refi you should be interested in. Everything else, not that interesting to me. So you may not be able to refinance now. It'd be nice if you could, but if you can get those four things in line, that's the refi you want. 404-872-0750. It's 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
6 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Klink, sitting in for Clark. So glad you could join us for Black Friday. Don't forget that Cyber Monday is this coming Monday. Basically, you go back to work, you flip on your computer, and instead of working, you're shopping. At least that's what retailers are hoping, as always. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Nerdy joins us on the line from Lithonia. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi. Okay, I have a question. My house is on the water, and about $50,000. So I was wondering if I should take that money, basically that's all my savings, buy another property, like a rental property, or should I go ahead and get my mortgage reduced for a lower interest rate?
Well, what is your interest rate?
It's 5.375.
How many years do you have left?
25. I've been there for 5 years.
Are you trying to sell anytime soon?
I cannot sell it because it's on the water. I don't know.
Would you want to rent the property? Is there somewhere else you'd rather live?
I don't really want to rent it because my mortgage is about $1,400, but I don't want to rent it because, I mean, you know, somebody may not pay the rent or have a problem. So I was wondering in a cheaper property that, you know, I don't know.
Well, okay, so you're asking two really different questions. I mean, the first question is, what do you do about the house you live in? $60,000 underwater. And is it worth paying off that property just in general so you can refinance? Or it sounds like maybe paying down so you're even with what you owe and then maybe selling it. Is that about what you're thinking?
Yeah.
So I like the idea of getting out from under this property, and you don't know if that property value is going to come back in the next 5 years or the next 25 years. So if you want to move on with your life and you have $60,000 in cash and you want to get out of this house, you could list the house and see what price you get for it, what somebody offers you for it, and then make up the difference out of your savings.
Oh, okay.
So that's one question. Now, the second question is, you don't care that it's underwater because you're going to stay there anyway for 25 years. So now what do you do with the money? Should you refinance the property? Well,
yeah.
The question is, you know, how much do you have in cash? Because you'd have to get it down to about 95%.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to have to pay private mortgage insurance. And so you may or may not have significant savings.
I have the savings, but and my 401k, I also have that, but I don't want to go in there.
Oh, I don't want you to go into your 401k for this. Why would you want to pay the taxes on it? Let alone maybe are you under the age of 59 and a half?
Yeah.
So then you got penalties on top of that. That's silly. So you're right. It's only about what you have in cash. Is this, if you take out $60,000, is that all of the savings you have?
Yeah, basically that's all my savings.
Well, I don't like that either.
Okay.
So you have to decide what's the least, you know, the least worst thing you could do. Now, taking $60,000, which is all of your savings, and going to buy a rental property, why would you want to do that?
So I could get the money for that and put towards the mortgage, and I would still have the property up the market go up. That's what I was thinking.
At what if the market doesn't go up for 20 years?
Oh, yeah.
What if it goes up in 10 years? What if it only goes up at 3% a year for the next 10 years, but not for the first 5 years?
Yeah, I didn't think about it.
I think you have to decide what you want to do about your primary residence. I mean, if you want to live in your primary residence, fine. If you want to sell your primary residence, fine. If you're willing to pay down the loan, refinance, and then rent out that property so you can live somewhere else, fine. But it sounds like you're not quite sure. You have a lot of options because you have cash and you're on time with your mortgage payment. So what I want you to do is figure out what is the right way to go for you, what the next right step is for you. It could be any of those directions. You have to figure out what you want to do with your life about and what you want to do with this property.
Okay. Okay, then. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Nardi. Wish you luck with it. 41 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Beth joins us on the line. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
I have a quick question. I have about $12,000 in student loans and a little IRA that has done very little in the past 4 years. I'm thinking about closing it out, taking that money, and paying off my student loans.
How old are you?
I am 55.
You're not quite old enough to take out that money without paying the 10% penalty, and you're going to owe taxes on it. So if you took out $12,000, you'd probably only net out about $6,000.
Okay.
Because you have to pay federal tax, state tax, and the 10% penalty.
Off the top of your head, you know what the federal and state tax would be for about $12,000?
Well, do you earn money?
Do I do what?
Do you, what is your earnings? Because it gets added to your income.
Oh, my earnings, I guess, are about $60,000 a year.
Okay, so this would bump you up to, let's say, $72,000 a year.
Okay.
So that, you know, it's complicated because it depends on your deductions. It may change your, you know, it may change the 25, maybe you're in the 25% bracket, you go to the 28% bracket. I don't know. It just depends.
So I should just leave it there?
Well, it's not, I mean, it's not going to pay off your student loans. It would cut it in half. You'd have to pay $6,000, roughly, maybe it's $5,000, to taxing authorities in this 10% penalty. So now your $12,000 in student loans falls to $6,000.
Okay, well, I'll just leave it there. Maybe one day it'll pay off.
Well, do you have, you know, are you putting extra money towards it?
No, it's just sitting there.
You're not paying towards the student loan?
Oh, yes, I am paying towards the student loan.
Okay, and how much are you paying each month?
$160.
Okay, can you afford to pay a little more?
I could, yes.
How much could you afford to pay down towards that loan?
Maybe $5 or $10 a month. I have a daughter in college, so it's tight.
Okay, so you could pay another $5 or $10 a month? Or
yes.
$500?
Pay $500?
I'm asking you. You said $5 or $10. Did you mean $165 instead of $160?
Oh, right, $165, definitely.
You know, I think every little bit helps. When your daughter is out of college, I'd love to see you take all the money you're giving her and helping her and then just use that to pay off your student loan.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. 44 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Kaylee joins us on the line. Hi, Kaylee.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
I'm looking to open my own business from home, and I haven't started my research into my first steps. I'm wondering if you could recommend some websites or anything on my first steps.
Well,
what I need to do.
Sure. Do you have a business idea?
Yes, it's tax services.
Okay, and are you in any way like licensed, or are you an enrolled agent? Tell me what.
Sure, my background is accounting for several corporations. I finished up my master's in 07, and after having three babies, I'm finally able to get my CPA. I just passed the first test.
Oh, so, congratulations!
Yeah, thank you. I have three more. I'm planning to get that done in about 9 months.
Okay, and what kind of a business do you want to open?
Tax services. I focus mainly on taxes for now and, of course, expand later on.
So that's great. You're coming up to a really busy time of year for that.
Right.
Right, starting in January.
I have a few clients at this point as well, so I definitely want to get my business license so I can do work for them in the spring.
Sure. So business licenses are easy. You just go and you apply down at your local city hall.
Okay.
In my town, it's $30, and you get your business license, and it takes like 5 minutes. You just walk up, you write them a check, and they hand it to you. But you may want to open up separate bank accounts so that the money goes into the bank accounts, and you pay out of that bank account. Obviously, you're familiar with QuickBooks.
Yes.
I think what you'd want to do to build this business, you don't need much other than basically your software and some way for people to reach you, probably your cell phone line. You might at some point in time want to set up a one-page website.
Right.
But a lot of times people just use a Facebook page for this.
True. Okay.
And then what I would do is, since you already have some clients, I would go to them and say, I'm running a special. If I can do your tax returns for you, I'm going to charge, I will, for every client that you refer, I will give you a 15% discount off of your tax preparation fee or whatever it's going to be.
Great. Okay.
So you want to give them, you know, these people are already using you. So, you know, we're just going to assume they are thrilled with the service you are providing. And why wouldn't they look around for people? Because it's going to save them money.
Right. Exactly.
So that's
now,
what
about
do.
Any kind of insurance?
Insurance is really important. I would definitely look into some liability insurance and what kind of needs you have. This is, you know, a question where you'd probably want to say to somebody, like a lawyer, do you think I need an LLC for this?
Okay.
Give you a layer of protection. I would probably also increase your umbrella liability coverage.
Okay.
And you may want to talk to whoever sells you the umbrella liability coverage about a business insurance.
Okay.
And slowly over time, you can kind of put all these different pieces together and build it up, you know, so that you're ready to go. But it sounds like, you know, if you've already got some clients and you know you've got income coming in, you can dedicate some of that towards getting all this other kind of stuff set up. And honestly, I know that there's a need for this.
Right.
There's just, you know, unless we're going to go to the flat tax, which maybe not anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one day. I even hope, even if I build this business, I hope.
Well, I'm hoping it gets some more simpler anyway. But
right.
I just can see that small businesses have a real need for somebody who knows QuickBooks and has basic accounting understanding and can help them with that kind of planning. And when you say tax services, I think about, you know, companies like mine where we actually have somebody who handles the books for us and comes in. They're like a bookkeeper, but they, you know, we pay them, you know, $35, $45, $50 an hour. It just depends what they're doing for us to help with all of everything from reconciling our expense logs all the way to making sure the QuickBooks is up to date.
Right.
And that kind of tax services, I think you can start to increase, you know, spread the word. And again, once you have, if you have happy clients, and it sounds like you do, you can talk to them about giving you a hand and spreading the word in exchange for a discount. And I think it'll kind of naturally, organically grow as much as you want it to.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, that's good information. Thank you, Lise.
You're very welcome. I wish you luck with it, and let me know how it goes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. 49 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. You know, if you don't listen to my show on Sunday mornings, you're really missing out. We are on from 11 to 1. Actually, it's 12 to 2 this week. But then after that, we fall back to 11 to 1, which is our regularly scheduled time. Football season will be over. And delighted to have you on board as we sort of talk about the day's news and what we're doing. We talk about what's been going on in the week, give you an economics report where I see it from my armchair economist view, and just kind of help you uncover all of these little things that you need to have a really successful and productive week. So I hope you'll join us on Sunday mornings at 12 for this week, and then after that at 11 here on News Talk WSB. It is 50 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. We have time for a few more calls. I'm Elise Klink. You're listening to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB. Minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blank. I've been filling in for Clark. So Monday is Cyber Monday, and we had the question earlier, how did Black Friday get its name? Cyber Monday was only created 5 years ago, and talk about inventing something out of nothing, by the National Retail Federation to mark the unofficial start to Internet shopping for the holidays. Workers get back to their computers after holiday weekend, and supposedly they're panicking about holiday shopping, and retailers offer super low prices and one-time deals to build momentum and boost sales. Now, this year it starts November 29th. There are lots and lots and lots of deals. Last year, consumers spent $887 million online, excluding travel, on Cyber Monday, and that was $292 million more than on Black Friday, according to ComScore. This year, they're saying that those numbers are going to be even higher. What are some of the great Cyber Monday deals that I'm seeing out there? Amazon shoes, spend $75, get 25% off. Spend $150, get 30% off. There are some restrictions that apply. A Swiss Legend men's Commander watch is $49. The list price, $595. Wow, that even looks like a misprint to me. Panasonic S50 camcorder, $149. List price, $229. Save 30 to 50% on select Fisher-Price toys. And I love shopping online there. Walmart has some Cyber Monday stuff. It starts actually on Sunday. It lasts through December 3rd. Almost all the items include free shipping to a home or a store. Some of the things I'm seeing, Philips, an 8-gigabyte Vibe MP3 player, video player for $39.98. The Garmin Nuvi for $89. An HP Mini 210 notebook PC, $318. That's pretty cheap. There are all kinds of other things online there. Staples.com, their Cyber Monday sales start Sunday at 6 a.m. and run through Monday. Staples has free shipping on orders over $50. What do they have? There is the TomTom XXL 540S portable GPS for $79. Regular price is $199. Western Digital Elements, 2 terabytes, external hard drive, $69. Regular price, $159. GameStop.com has some great sales. Macy's has some great sales. BarnesandNoble.com, JCPenney.com, Sears, AT&T, they're offering a smartphone for one penny every 3 hours. Check that out as well on AT&T.com. 58 minutes past the hour. Our show is over. It's been great fun to spend this week with you. I hope you'll join us on Sunday when the fun continues at noon on the Elise Glink Show. We're online all the time. Tweet me at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Join the Facebook fan page. Hang out with us online at thinklink.com. My thanks to Crystal Wheeler and Shannon for an amazing job of screening your calls and producing this terrific show. Thank you so much for your help. And thanks for joining us this Thanksgiving week. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Sean Hannity is next. Stay tuned for him on News Talk WSB.